Our pastor mentions earlier that because of a lightning strike, that the radio was limited to a lower power, but it's been restored to full power.
Right. Amen.
I was sitting back there this morning, and he mentioned that, and I thought about our lives as believers. I believe we've got a lot of folks that's operating on low power.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, all power is given to me.
Yes. Yes.
My pastor preached at the Southside Baptist Fellowship years ago, and he preached on the missing word in missions. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And so I'm convinced that we need an adjustment in our lives, that full power would be demonstrated. Amen. By the way, I believe God gives us power to live for Him in a way that will bring glory to His name. I'm in the book of 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want you to note with me verse number 14 through verse 17. The Bible said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I want to preach tonight, and you might think that maybe this is not missions, but I believe it is. It's the goal of God to get the gospel to every creature. Not some or many, but to all. And so I want to preach a little thought on the matter of this book that charts our course.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got an instruction book. I'm glad that it's the same as He is, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're not looking for another Bible. We're not correcting the one we have. We ought to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And by the way, good question, a mission question is this, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I don't believe the Lord convicts us without purpose. And I appreciate all the messages, the good preaching of the word of God. And I want to say I thank God for the good singing, the special music and the congregational songs that bless our heart. And we've got something to sing about.
Amen.
Amen. Would you pray with us? Lord, I love you. Thank you tonight for the word of God. We're grateful that you said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And you said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're grateful for that promise. And I pray that you might ready us in these days. I pray that the Holy Spirit might have liberty. Lord, we would like a demonstration of the full power of God in our lives, that others might come to know thee, whom to know right is life eternal. Bless the Lord. You know the needs in this congregation tonight. I commit it to thee. I pray that you might anoint these feeble lips. Lord, you take our mind and think your thoughts, and take our lips and speak your truth. And I pray that you might be glorified. Thank you for all you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may take your seats. This book that charts our course, I'm saved tonight because of this book. Spirit of God was given to me at birth. It was the Spirit of God that convicted me of sin. I don't believe anybody gets saved without being convicted. And by the way, that's not the preacher's responsibility. That's the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has his rightful way, there will be conviction.
Amen.
Spirit of God convicted me of sin. Spirit of God birthed me into the family of God. Spirit of God sealed me unto the day of redemption. He is the seal. Spirit of God fitted me for another world. So you don't ever fit in down here again once you've been fitted for another world. In this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture given to us, and the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he's exposing the apostasy of the last days. He said this, know also that in the last days perilous times will come. And by the way, that didn't start day before yesterday. That's been going on for a long, long time. And so apostasy is clarified verse 1 through 9. And apostasy is contrasted, verse 10 through 13. But apostasy is counteracted, verse 14 through 17. And so it's counteracted by the man of God, and it's counteracted by the Word of God. So the Word of God prepares us as children of God to be spiritually mature. Amen? We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, we understand that we're saved by grace. Through faith, I'm saying to you, we're not saved by works, not saved by the water, not saved by wonders, not saved by the wafer. We're saved by the grace of God. Divine grace saves us. Discerning grace schools us. Hallelujah. Listen, daily grace sustains us, and departing grace will satisfy us. I'm grateful for the grace of our God. And so, I want to share a few. Notice, if you would, please, verse number 15. And here's what he said. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. He said this Bible, the Word of God, will make you wise. It'll make you wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. And by the way, sin breaks fellowship. And the Bible said sin is transgression of the law. He said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin breaks fellowship, not relationship. Somebody said, what about the prodigal? Well, what about him? If he had died in the hog pen, he wouldn't have been a prodigal pig. He's a prodigal son. Now, I'm grateful that that is a relationship that's secure. We're anchored in the rock of ages. Jesus is our Savior. Heaven is our home. I'm grateful for the provision that God has made, so it makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. So I've been saved a little over 64 years. And back on in early days, you know, you'd go to church and you'd hear about what's not right in our life. And what needs to be corrected in our life. And so we learned back in those early days, and sin was named. We got a lot of preaching today that preaches all around sin, but no sin is named. I need to hear from heaven. I want God to speak to my heart from his word. And what God calls sin is not a mistake in your life. It's sin. And so if we're to be the servants that God have us be, then we must be sensitive to the Spirit of God. I come back. Sin is transgressing the law. Sin is a universal fact. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one exempt. We're either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. As saved sinner, we're either in God's will or out of God's will. As saved sinner, we're either pleasing to Christ or we're displeasing to him. And so we're not trying to impress men. I've met people along the way who's pretty sold on themselves. They're saying, and they open this Bible, but they're continually saying, look at me. Look at me. No. I don't say to you, how can you impress someone who knows everything about you? He knows you're downsetting, you're uprising, your thoughts are far off, knows all about it, and he still loves us. You can't impress God, but you can please God. But you cannot please God without living by faith. And so we live by, how do we get saved? By grace through faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Sin is a universal fact. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Sin is an individual practice. If we're honest with ourselves, we'd have to confess the fact that there's many times in a day that we make moves and make decisions and we make choices. And some of the times that's not according to God's will. And that becomes sin. Sin is transgression of the law. And it's, again, sin provides physical light. Moses talked about the pleasures of sin for a season. And I'm reminded of that sin produces serious, demoralizing consequences. I'm glad that God forgives sin. But God does not remove the consequences of sin. God does not remove the scars of sin. But I'm glad that God forgives sin. And so the practice of sin, we find it in the life of David in Psalm 51. He confesses his sin before God. And the practice of sin hurts. It hurts in your, by the way, when I sin, I affect you. When you sin, you affect me. And so we're to be operating at full power, not a reduced power. The Spirit of God is to have full control of our life. And by the way, it's amazing. When I got saved, I was doing things that was sin, but I didn't know it. But Dr. Buffin was a faithful man of God, preached that book without compromise. And as he opened that book, the Spirit of God made application to my life. And when I saw that, listen, I adjusted my life to the Word of God. I didn't change Bibles, didn't get mad at the preacher, but I accepted the fact that God is interested in me and he speaks to me personally. I'm grateful for that. And so sin, David said, my sin is ever before me. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He said, it's like an open wound. It stings the conscience. It saddens the heart. And once there was joy, but now he's saying, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And by the way, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. That'd be good for us independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptists. Listen, clean heart, right spirit. And by the way, you can have one without the other. Everybody all right? I'm saying sin does this. It saddens the heart. Once they have joy, it sickens the body and the personal infection by sin. Sin disfigures a man. He's unclean. Sin disgraces a man. He comes to the place where he has no friends. And sin deceives a man. And sin disarms a man. He has no power over that sin himself. And sin will damn that soul to hell if there's no repentance. And so the power that influences sin, men are going according to their own course. I read it in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, if you'll note that with me. In Ephesians chapter number 2, and let's look at verse number 2, Ephesians 2. The Bible said, where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he said in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we were before we got saved. I'm grateful I'm redeemed by love divine. I'm grateful for S.A. Gaines that wrote that song, I'm Redeemed. His wife was my sixth grade school teacher. I knew two of his boys, and one of his sons, Gene, was one of my close visitation partner. We was able to point a lot of folk to the Lord Jesus. I'm grateful for the message of that song. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. I'm not working my way to heaven. No, I'm saved by the grace of God. God reached down, reached further down than I could reach up, saved my soul. Listen, gave me a song in my mouth, even praise unto God. And so this Bible, the Word of God, there's churches today that's embraced. I'm not talking about other brands. I'm talking about our group. There's churches today that are embracing and endorsing things that 25 years ago, 50 years ago, would never been heard of. Amen. We've got a lot of so-called churches out there that's nothing more than a country club with a steeple on it. Listen, they don't preach about any sin. I'm saying that's what needs to be. Lift up our voice like a trumpet and show the people of God their transgressions. And I'm saying that's what God said. We're to preach the Word of God. Not just about, but the Word of God. And so whatsoever not of faith is sin, the scripture said. And so I want my life to count for God. And so if it's going to count for God, then I must become wise concerning the sinfulness of my sin. We're pretty good about addressing everybody else's sin. Somehow or another, you've kind of got the idea that your sin, my sin, is a little more respectful in the sight of God than others. No. If it's sin for me, it's sin for you. Amen. And if it was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong tonight. And if it was right back there, it's still right tonight. So he said, now continue thou. You do what? You continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I'm grateful that the Spirit of God is my teacher. He guides me into truth. That's how I'm reading and studying the Word of God. Brother Bobby, when I'm reading and studying the Word of God, sometimes I find a place that I don't quite understand. And so I'm praying and asking God to show me what that means to me. And so I pull a commentary down off the shelf and I find out that fella's about as dumb as I am. But one of these days, as I'm driving down the road or maybe back in the study and listen, reading over that scripture again, God turns a light on. And God so said, I said, how could I be so stupid? How could I be so wrong? Listen, I'm grateful that the Spirit of God, He guides me into all truth. And by the way, I need that in my life. And I need that in my life. If I'm going to be the servant God would have me to be, I need that in my life. And so now, hold on a minute. The scriptures, this Bible, hasn't changed. The God of the Bible hasn't changed. The need is far greater today than it's ever been. And the opportunity to serve is great. A great opportunity to serve. That great door and effectual that's open before us. I'm grateful for what the Lord has allowed us to see in these days. There's still, the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, as we think about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it unlocks the mind of God. Unveils the mind of God, unlocks the heart of God, and unfolds the will of God. Thankful for the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The full gospel is Jesus Christ and nothing less. And the full gospel is Jesus Christ and nothing more. And the full gospel is Jesus Christ and nothing else. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say, I've watched the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ change people that was wicked as the devil himself and gave them new life in the Lord Jesus. But it's the gospel. It's not my opinion or your opinion. It's not my delivery or your delivery. It's simply God taking His blessed truth and by the Spirit of God making application to our heart and life. I say to you, that's the message that works down in Mexico. It works in the Philippines. It worked behind the jail cell. It worked in your city and in my city. It worked in your life and my life. I'm saying, God help us to be faithful to give out the Word of God. This Bible will direct our steps. Notice with me, secondly, the Scripture, the Word of God, this book that charts our course, makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. I could preach about an hour long on that, but I'll move to the second point. The Scriptures makes us wise concerning the simplicity of salvation. I'm not a believer in or supporter of easy believism. But I want to say to you, it's not hard to get saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so I'm saying, I've heard folks and preachers are guilty. I've heard them say, well, if you didn't pray the prayer like I prayed, then you're not saved. And I hear them again and again. They're saying, well, if you doubt your salvation, you're lost. I'm going to say to you, if that was so, then all the disciples have been lost. I had a dear preacher friend call me late one night, and he was headed from a camp meeting, and he said, I want to ask your opinion. And he talked about a fellow who had preached that night at the camp meeting, and he had several of his church members with him. And one lady was very disturbed, troubled about her relationship with Christ. And he said, here's what the man said. And I said, wait just a minute. Can I ask you this question? Is the man that was preaching, is it? And I called his name. And he said, yes. And so there's some preachers that will say this, and they're bold about it. They said, when I go into a new church, I do my best to try to get everybody lost. That's wicked, wicked, wicked. There's such a thing as being a weak Christian. Amen. I'm grateful that I'm not saved according to man's plan. Saved according to God's plan. Only one time in my spiritual life did I have any serious doubt about my relationship with Christ. And that was back when I was sitting in a classroom at Tennessee Temple Schools, and a man that was the instructor said, you can't know that you're saved according to the Word of God. And he took the passage from John 5, and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I was troubled in my heart. There was a lot of folks making another profession of faith. And by the way, it's an impossibility to be born again and again. Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again and again and again. But he did say, you must be born again. And one time will do. And so I went home from the classroom that day. I got on my knees beside my bed, and I said, Lord, you said I was a sinner, and I've agreed to that. I acknowledge that. You said that Jesus died upon an old rugged cross in my place, and I believe that. And you said if I trust you as my personal Savior, that you'd save me. And I believe that. And I said, dear Lord, if this is satanic oppression, I plead the blood of Christ over my mind. And could I remind you that that's where the devil attacks? He attacks the mind, accuses the motive in order to alter my mission. I want to say to you, God, help us to saturate our life with the Word of God. So I got up that morning, that early afternoon, and I stood back up with full assurance that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I'm saved by God's grace. Amen. And could I say to you, gentlemen, God did not call you, or God did not call me, to do anything other than to pour in the water of life. In John chapter number 2, God said to those servants, fill the water pots with water. That's all he asked them to do. And God, that's all he asked them to do. That's all he asked them to do. And he did an inward, unseen work that didn't remain unseen. And I'm saying, Jesus said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's what's needed on a mission field. That's what's needed at the jailhouse. That's what's needed at the house of God. Listen, to give out the word of God as it is. Commitment. And so I'm saying to you, my dear friend, Dr. Jones said, I've got a lady that's in my church that can't get victory for years. She's doubted and doubted and doubted. And I said, Dr. Jones, let me ask you this. I said, what are you going to do with that passage of scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, where it said, if we believe not yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I say to you, once you've been born again, if you ever got to the place where you had a malfunction in what, the way you think, it doesn't change a bit. My name's still indelibly in the Lamb's Book of Life, saved forever. And so the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes us the plan of salvation simple. To hear some preachers say you'd have to have a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out how to be born again. No, no, you must realize that you are a sinner, believe Christ died for you, trust Him by faith. I said to Dr. Harold B. Sider one day, I said, Dr. Sider, how's a man filled with the Spirit of God? He said, Brother Joe, if a man wants to be filled with the Spirit of God, here's what you need to do. You need to get on your face before God. And he said, as far as you know, everything's right between you and God. Get on your face before God and ask the Lord to fill you by faith and get up believing it. That's a whole lot different than the house philosophy or the Bill Pennell philosophy. I take what God said in His Word. Amen. We're saved by grace and we're filled by faith. Amen. By the way, you got all the Holy Spirit you'll ever have when you got born again. Yeah. Our problem is this: we've been running at low power. Yeah. We're not projecting the message as we should. Why? Because of sin. And so salvation is not by our worthiness. Titus 3:5 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The subject of salvation in Scriptures demands our fullest attention. And while I'm passing by, let me address this issue. There's folks that have this idea that children can't be saved. Well, isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul said of young Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Mark it down and remember it forever. Anytime anybody makes a move toward God desiring salvation, you can rest assured that God the Holy Ghost has already worked in their heart. That wasn't your illustration. That wasn't your delivery. That wasn't your message. It was God the Holy Spirit that took that word and applied it to the heart and life of man. So we come back. The Scriptures makes us wise. Salvation is fully and completely provided for by Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so conformity to God through Christ is the only means of saving grace for the soul. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price in full. But the world didn't know that. And I'm convinced sometimes there's some people in our churches, our congregation, don't know that. But here again, I'm not the judge. And you're not the judge. And by the way, if they're not right, I want the Spirit of God to do His work in their heart. I want to try to be faithful to preach the Word of God and try to present it in a way that God's glorified, not drawing attention to myself. No, no, no. If God, what I deserve, I'd be in hell tonight, and you would be too. And so the Scripture makes us wise. Salvation is personally received. The Bible said in John 1:12, He said in verse 11, He said, He came into His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm grateful that, listen, He does not divorce us. He does not deny us. And so salvation is fully and completely by the Lord Jesus. Conformity, again, salvation is personally received. And that includes the act of the will. I've preached and you have too. I've preached and I've watched God, the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, so grip a person that they would grab the back of the pew till the knuckles turn white. I've had them raise their hand and ask for prayer, and I've seen them turn and walk away. I'm telling you, it's important that when the Spirit of God nudges your heart, that you respond to it immediately. The Apostle Paul heard that Macedonian call, and listen, assuredly gathering, he started to do what the Spirit of God wanted him to do. And that's, by the way, there ought not be any delays. The message is urgent, and the time is short. So God help us. Listen, salvation personally received, act of the will to receive Christ. Salvation ought to be publicly demonstrated. It is this experience. We've experienced a new power. The Spirit of God moved in. It's different now. I've adjusted my life again and again to this book. And by the way, it's not not following just a personality of some man or some ministry, but it's seeking to follow the Holy Spirit as He opens that scripture to us. I'm thankful that I have a Bible. My grandson, his name's Connor. He was calling me one night. I was coming back home from Harriman, and he said, "Guess what, Papa?" I said, "What, Connor?" He said, "I got saved." I said, "Tell me about it." And he told me about how he got saved at church. And he's been in church ever since before he was born, all those years. And as a young man, you said, "You believe he got saved?" Well, let me tell you what happened. He came over to the house to visit, and he was playing with a neighbor boy. I'm sitting in the dining table, and there's a screen porch on the back, and I hear Connor say to that little boy, "Are you saved?" And that little boy knew nothing about what he was talking about. But Connor said, "If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell." Yep. He hadn't been to a soul winning class. Right. Hadn't had any special instruction. Right. But he's been to Calvary. Yep. Washed in the blood. Saved by the grace of God. Yep. Kept by the power of God. Amen. So he's been 2 trips to Guatemala on mission trips. And he knows Spanish fluently. And so he's working as a youth leader now in a church in Knoxville, a Spanish church. And I said, "Connor, if the Lord were to say to you, I'd like you to be a full-time missionary in Guatemala, how would you respond?" He said, "Papa, if that's what God wants, that's what I want." Right. It sounded to me like something happened on the inside. Right. That's not normal. That's spiritual. Amen. That's God working. And by the way, I want to say this, that we experience a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We now have power to face the world of sin. Yep. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He is my source. Right. But Psalm 62:5 said he's my expectation too. He said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting the Lord to take His word and minister to our needs. We have power to fight against Satan, power to forsake sin, and power that fits us to serve Christ. So, the scriptures, the word of God, makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. But it makes us wise concerning the simplicity of salvation. Don't make it so complicated. Right. Tell the story of Jesus. Yep. Write on my heart every word. Right. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Amen. So it makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin, concerning the simplicity of salvation. But the scriptures makes us wise concerning the greatness of God's grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul said, "I besought the Lord thrice that He remove this thorn in the flesh." And the Lord said, basically just my words, He said, "Now, Paul, I'm not going to do that, but here's what I'll do. I'll give you grace sufficient." Amen. And He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Amen. So there's some things greater than the thorn. The grace of God's greater than the thorn. Amen. The will of God's greater than the thorn. Yep. The power of God's greater than the thorn. Amen. I'm thankful that God gives grace sufficient. And He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ," that's the full power of Christ, "will dwell upon him." And so the scriptures makes us wise concerning the greatness of God's grace. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And so, advanced definition of grace is this: grace is God taking upon himself the total responsibility for my sin, their guilt, and their punishment for all of time and all eternity. So Christ Jesus suffered all hell for all sinners for all eternity. And by the way, folks talk about having another Pentecost. Said we're praying for another Pentecost. There'll never be another Pentecost. Because if that was so, there'd have to be another Calvary. And there'll never be another Calvary. Jesus satisfied the demands of a holy God when He bowed His head and said, "It's finished." And so the affirmation of God's grace, as Paul speaks of, is a saving grace, By the grace of God, I am what I am. Serving grace. His grace is not in vain. Sustaining grace. He said, I labored more. And so, again, the availability of God's grace, he said, Paul said, put it down this way. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I'm grateful that the grace of God is available. He invites us to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. That'd been a good time for you to say amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful it is not a throne of judgment. So I can come anytime I have excess. I'm glad I don't have to go through some little booth and whisper through a knothole to a man dressed up like a woman and he calls him father. No, I can come boldly to the throne of grace that I might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. That's grace just in the nick of time. That's grace in my time of need. Never too early, never too late. I'm thankful for the grace of God. The adequacy of God's grace, it protects us. It protects for a life of failure. And it provides for our private needs. And it produces godly conduct. Grace.
Amen.
Will cause us to want to be a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And give the gospel. And give the gospel. And keep sowing the seed. And keep sowing the seed. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He said, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. He said in God's arithmetic, one plus one is one. Our problem is this, we're not willing to be a part of one. We want to be one. Amen. But if you want to be one, it needs to be with Christ. So notice with me, the scriptures makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin, concerning the simplicity of salvation, concerning the greatness of God's grace, but then concerning our Christian conduct.
Yes, sir.
Christians ought to walk different.
Yes, sir.
Ought to talk different.
Yes.
Ought to act different.
Yes.
Ought to react different.
Yes.
Years ago, Warren Wiersbe stated, he said, your attitude determines your blessings. There's folks that see a booger behind every bush. All they see is a negative. I'm glad that our God is faithful when we're not faithful. He's faithful to us. Turn with me to the book of Acts and let's make an application here. In the book of Acts chapter 2. You said, does this have anything to do with mission? Every bit of it does. In Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice with me verse 42. The apostle Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 souls got saved. You believe that? Oh yeah. If it had said 5,000, I'd have believed that too. 3,000 souls got saved and 3,000 souls got baptized. And so that's why I reject some of this crowd, these super duper boys that are running around and holding a meeting and said, well, we had 1,500 saved. Nobody was baptized. Nobody joined the church. No new churches started. And that's another gospel.
Amen.
And so he said, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Changed their life, wouldn't you say?
Right.
When you get saved, you get changed.
Right.
And they continued. By the way, there's something bad wrong with a person who comes forward on Sunday morning, makes a profession of faith, and in 2 weeks' time, Homeland Security can't find them.
Right.
No, no, no. If you got saved Sunday morning, you ought to be back Sunday night,
amen,
Wednesday night,
amen,
special meetings.
Right.
And when I pastored, I had some folks that was very spiritual. We were going to have a revival meeting, and I was encouraging them to be faithful. And they said, preacher, well, we'll do our best to try to get down there one night. I said, don't strain yourself. listen, it's a fact to recognize that the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. Didn't say I was mad or sad. But said, I was glad to get to go to church again. And so it's a matter. Peter preached a sermon. Preached a sermon. 3,000 got saved. Verse 42 said they advanced. They're making progress. Probably the most opposition I had when I pastored was from folks that never grew up spiritually. They're still carnal. They got to have their baby food, got to be pampered, got to give them special attention. No, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a part of that growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord is to become very sensitive to the fact of God's will for my life. I want to be doing God's will. I don't want to be set on the sideline. I don't want to be put on the shelf. I want to be faithful in doing what God's called me to. Acts 2 verse 42 tells us they advanced. They made progress in their spiritual life. They continued steadfastly. So the Bible said they never changed gears. They just continued on. And by the way, as you get to your mission position on the field where God has designated for you, be reminded of the importance of living a consistent life before them. You're not going to the mission field to build American churches. And so I see that they advanced in Bible study, the apostles' doctrine. There could be no progress in our spiritual life apart from Bible study. That's why the key verse of 2 Timothy is study to show thyself proven unto God. Workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible tells us, listen, I need the word of God. I need the word of God in my head for enlightenment. I need the word of God in my heart to establishment. I need the word of God in my hands for efficiency. They advanced, the Bible said they advanced in church attendance. Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. It's not to the place where you have to feel like you have to get a physical to be a member of a church. We meet together because we want to. We meet together because it's a call of God. It's a plan of God for our life. And so we want to be running at full power, not low power. Full power, that God might get maximum glory. So they advanced in church witness. They advanced in intercession. They continued in prayer. That's what the Bible said. And they knew that prayer was vital to their spiritual growth. Sometimes I have folk ask me to pray for them, and I fully intend to do that. But I confess before the Lord this time I forget. But I'm grateful that I have one in glory. Amen. He's called my great High Priest. Amen. My great sympathetic High Priest. Amen. The one who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. And I'm thankful that he prays for me. Amen. And so prayer was vital to the spiritual growth. Prayer vital for spiritual health. Prayer is vital for cleansing. If we confess our sin, we're faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Word of God, listen, it's vital for my spiritual conflicts. 1 Peter 5, 7 said, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. He cares about my conduct. He cares about my conflicts. He cares about my calling. And he cares about my crowning. And so I can cast my burden upon the Lord. And he said, I'll sustain you. Amen. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And so the Word of God, listen, prayer is a generator of spiritual passion, and it's a gateway to divine power. These believers in Acts chapter 2 advanced in holy living. Their lives radiated the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I'm grateful for this book. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I believe it's D.L. Moody who said, today, You carry your Bible. But the day will come when your Bible will carry you. I'm grateful for the fact that I have a copy of it. In fact, I have several copies of the Word of God. I don't study it as much as I should. But I'm grateful that there's an appetite. And by the way, when you get saved, God will give you an appetite for the things of the Lord. I'm amazed at some that said they got saved, that they never read the Bible. And they never pray. And they think of the Lord as just in times of emergency, in time of the great needs. I'm glad that He's a very present help in trouble. So I want to run full steam. I'm asking, Lord, what would Thou have me to do?
Amen.
That includes my mission giving. That includes my direction in life and my service for the Lord. Lord, what would Thou have me to do? But this book here will make us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin, concerning the simplicity of salvation, concerning the greatness of God's grace, and concerning my Christian conduct. And the Lord will let you know what He wants you to do, if you ask Him with a desire to do it.
Amen.
Amen. So the songwriter said, must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go? I don't want to go empty-handed. And so I want to read it and heed it and demonstrate it that others might desire the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior.